This is Will Murray. Today is January 19th, 2021. I am interviewing Michael Smith from the Daily Ardmoreite in Ardmore, Oklahoma, for the Community Journalism in Middle America, Challenges and Innovations of COVID-19 Coverage Oral History Project. Michael, thanks today for your time in advance.
Hey, glad to be here. This is a pretty cool project you guys are working on.
I appreciate that. Could you go ahead and pronounce your name on tape? It's pretty straightforward, but just for the record.
Sure. Michael D. Smith.
Awesome. So how long have you worked in journalism?
See, my first job was there for about 3.5 years, and then I've been here at the Ardmoreite now for about 1.5 years. So going on 5 years.
Great. And how long have you worked in your current position at the paper? Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. I got hired on in 2019 August, really actually as a part-time education reporter. And over the course of a couple of months and then leading up to the pandemic, there was obviously a need for more local reporters. So I got hired on full time. But again, I was really hired on, though, as technically the education reporter. But being in community journalism, you have to usually wear a couple of hats.
Yes, exactly. Right now, what's your paper circulation?
We were talking about that the other day. Our print circulation, we think, is around 3,000. And then we actually found out that we have just under 500 digital subscribers.
Oh, great. How many people are working right now in your newsroom or related to the newsroom?
See, I guess technically we would have five. We have our managing editor, one news clerk, and then three full-time reporters.
And that includes yourself?
Correct.
Okay. So I guess we'll start at the beginning then. When did the impact of COVID begin on your newspaper? When did it all start?
Well, we actually had a local story about it in our paper going back to like late February, early March, as the kind of national and international news was talking more about it. We did a story just asking how some of our local government officials, local emergency management officials were preparing. But it wasn't until March 13th, I want to say is the date. One of our local high schools was the girls' basketball team had made it to the state finals. They were supposed to be playing that evening, and then we got word, though, that morning that the State High School Athletic Association had postponed all of those basketball games because of the pandemic. So that was definitely the first time I noticed, anyways, that the pandemic became real here in Southern Oklahoma, when life actually was starting to change because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is pretty early on. That's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, we didn't get our first case of it reported in our county until March 25th.
Oh, okay.
So it was about almost a full week, or actually a little over a week after that basketball game was canceled, that we saw our first case. But even then, it was kind of a slow go here. Oklahoma City was getting a lot. Dallas was getting a lot of cases. But we kind of stayed isolated in our own little small town bubble. March, we saw some of our first reporting on it. But things didn't really start to get crazy until closer to the summer.
Okay. And then how have people adjusted their routines during the pandemic overall?
Locally, overall, there have been some changes. I have noticed in this small town, there are a lot of kind of the naysayers, some that may think it's overblown or just a straight up hoax. So you still see some of these businesses not enforcing social distancing, not enforcing mask regulations, things like that. But as time has gone on, more and more people are starting to see how detrimental it is, especially to our local healthcare industry. So here in the past 2 months or so, we have started seeing more public events being canceled or shifted to a safer venue. Again, the masks, the social distancing, but even then I would guess it's barely over half of the population locally. Again, that's just kind of a rough guess on my part.
And what rules has your newsroom put in place as far as safety goes for your staff? And I'm thinking about reporters and photographers, just really anybody during the pandemic.
probably one of the hardest ones for me to deal with has been just the fact that our newsroom and our entire office is closed. You know, beyond being able to sit in the bullpen in the afternoon and kind of bounce ideas off of coworkers, that's no longer really an option. But two, when I want to schedule an interview with somebody, you know, I can't just have them come by the office tomorrow afternoon. It's those have been some of the hardest things to get used to, is having to rely almost exclusively on phone calls or FaceTime and just not really having that camaraderie with my colleagues.
And I guess with your own family life, you know, working from home or working from the office, you know, I guess going forward, you know, how have you juggled all that? What has been your own personal adjustment with all this for yourself?
I'm finding myself having a much harder time leaving work. You know, before it was easy. I could leave everything at the office and come home and put it all behind me. But now, I mean, I walk by my office door multiple times a day. It's hard not to take that text message or that phone call, you know, oh, I'll be right back. Let me just take care of this real quick. That's almost no more. So I have to be a lot more mindful as to, you know, it's the end of my work day. I'm putting my work phone on silent and I am going to go do something not newspaper related.
You know, that's probably impacted how many hours you work. You know, and what's a typical day then, I guess, with all that? Like, do you work more hours? Do you work weirder hours around your family schedule? Can you work from home? Or how's that been working out?
I think weirder outer hours is actually a pretty good way to put it. The number of hours that I work has gone up, not a whole heck of a lot. Again, it's kind of easy to work more hours when you are so close to the office now. But yeah, I actually have definitely caught myself getting an interview done in the afternoon, but then putting it down and playing with my daughter in the later in the afternoon, and then coming back after bedtime and then getting my copy written up for a story the next day. That's actually happened once or twice, sure. But yeah, I think the number of hours hasn't necessarily gone up too terribly much.
Okay. I guess this is a good segue to my next question then. You know, how has the news strategy for your newsroom changed as a result of the pandemic?
I don't necessarily know if our strategy has changed all that much. You know, we still want to focus on those hyper-local stories. So we still find those local angles when it comes to both the pandemic, as far as, you know, healthcare, vaccination response, things like that. But just other events as well. I was telling you before we started that I was yesterday was covering some MLK service projects here in town. It's something I would have done in years past. Just really the only difference was I was wearing a mask this time and I wasn't shaking hands with people. But yeah, our strategy is still the same, local.
Very good. And I guess with that, you know, what are some of the biggest stories you've covered locally with the pandemic or regionally? Like, I know you're working on health related news a lot, but what are a couple stories that you're particularly proud of that you have thought have had a good impact on things?
I know when the vaccines first started rolling out in our county, I was the lone reporter actually inside the clinic when they were administering those first vaccines, and then actually. So here in Southern Oklahoma, we started seeing a really big surge in new cases each day back in like end of October, early November. And it was during that same time, surprise, surprise, that our local hospital was also getting just completely inundated with COVID and non-COVID related illnesses. So between early November and here just in the past couple of weeks, I have been doing some pretty in-depth coverage of the situation here at the local hospital, talking with emergency doctors, talking with directors of nursing, and even the president of the local hospital, just trying to make sure that readers understand that it's more than COVID that's having a big impact on the healthcare infrastructure here in Southern Oklahoma. And that's probably, I would hope anyways, has been some of my most impactful work during this pandemic, is just making people understand how how stretched thin local healthcare resources have been in recent weeks.
Not a really important thing that you might have insight into that people might trust you more with your beat. You know, I think that's such a critical thing right now. That's really important. How have you the financials changed for your paper? Do you know anything about that during the pandemic?
I'll be honest with you. That's a little bit above my pay grade. So I'm not going to have much input for you on that one.
I guess it would probably mean that you may not be able to comment on furloughs or layoffs or production changes necessarily, or do you know anything about those?
So we actually did have some furloughs actually fairly early on in the pandemic, but it was all more of the kind of middle management and above. They had set a pay threshold, so anybody making over X amount was doing a week-long furloughs each month through, I think it was April through about August, September, somewhere in there. I was not a part of that though. So me and most everybody else in the newsroom still had to power through even those furloughs, which meant actually we had to wear even more hats during those weeks when we were seeing, editors or even some of the administration workers up in the office going through those weekly furloughs.
Okay. Well, that's, it's a lot to juggle in normal times. I can't imagine what it was like to do that with the stress of a pandemic and taking care of your family and, you know, trying to make ends meet. That's a lot of
stuff. And trying to figure out a lot of these new roles while working from home. Kind of going back to what I talked about how, you know, working from home, you can't bounce a lot of these ideas off your coworkers.
That's right.
It was equally as hard trying to figure out other jobs when you are literally sitting in a bubble by yourself, completely isolated. Oh, that's a little stressful.
What was an example of one of those extra jobs you had to do during that time?
Me personally, I ended up having to pick up some more editing work. So in the evenings, I was doing copy editing. I was doing more work with the designers to make sure that, you know, the page layouts was fine. That was probably some of the most of the extra work that I personally had to pick up during those furlough weeks.
Okay. Well, so I guess then you would know probably how this question goes then, you know, how do you think this is changing the pandemic? I mean, changing journalism as an industry right now.
Whew. I would hope that it's making people a little bit more, making people realize how important the local side of journalism is. As to if that actually is the case, I couldn't tell you. I do know that it's a lot of the journalists, both that I know personally and just those that I may follow on social media, Twitter, and the likes. I seem to sense the strain a lot more. Journalists tend to be kind of cynical anyways, but that cynicism has been magnified over the past 10 months, in my opinion. Myself included, I catch myself kind of hating on things a lot more than I think I would. As far as how the industry itself has changed, I don't know. The jury may still be out with me on that, but the people that make up the industry, I sense a lot more angst. And stress over the past few months.
That's fair. No, I can't imagine how that would work. Actually, that would be a lot to handle. I can only sympathize from a distance as somebody who does journalism education. So my hat's off to you for trudging through all this. That's a lot of things to juggle again on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been any innovations that you have yourself been a part of, or your paper has been a part of, that you think have been beneficial that you might keep long term after all this is over?
I don't know if there have been any major innovations that we've gone through in our newsroom. I do think that we have forged some much better ties with the public healthcare infrastructure here in Southern Oklahoma. Specifically our health department. Oh my gosh. The staff that at our local health department, we stay in regular touch with anymore. And I would like to think that maybe that's going to be something that sticks moving forward, is hopefully you see more of a public health beat in community journalism. That's, you know, been something that with our paper anyways would tend to get lumped into government or, you know, sometimes an education beat. But people are realizing how important local healthcare is, local healthcare infrastructure is. So I would hope that that sticks around in the future, even once this pandemic is behind us.
Great. No, that's well said. And I hope so too. I think that's an important collaboration and really one that can be pretty life-saving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Especially when in such a rural part of the country where poverty reigns, you know, making sure that readers have access to good quality public healthcare information. You know, it was important before the pandemic, but now with the generation that's lived through a pandemic, you know, like I said, hopefully it's something that sticks around for with not only our newspaper, but others.
Oh, that's good. That's a good aspiration, I think. And I agree with you there on my personal side of things. With readers, have you noticed any changes with them and how they interacted with you or the paper during the pandemic?
Everybody's a critic, and we still get our emails, you know, telling us why are you focused on this and not this. It has been nice, though, to receive comments from readers saying that they appreciate the regular coverage we give it. I know sometimes I'll you know, just catch myself getting burned out. Why am I doing this again? Why am I filling out this chart again? Why am I uploading this graphic again? But it is kind of nice to see readers, you know, appreciating our daily coverage of it. Other than that, though, our readership, what little interaction I've had with subscribers on that side, doesn't really sound like a whole heck of a lot has changed.
With your own professional challenges, you mentioned new roles, but has there been anything else that has been particularly challenging for you on the professional side during the pandemic as a journalist?
One thing that's made my job here at the Ardmore unique is the nature and the ownership of the Ardmore. For several years, the Ardmore was owned by Gatehouse, and then earlier this year, end of last year and early, or excuse me, last year now, we're already in 2021. Last year and then late in 2019, it was announced that Gatehouse and Gannett were going to be going through that merger. So that's what we've been going through for the past few months during the pandemic, is not only trying to figure out, you know, these new beats, trying to work under these new conditions, but we're also having to go through this merger where we're moving away from a lot of our Gatehouse methods and moving into the Gannett methods. So, you know, just from things like learning a new content management system, having to adjust to new deadlines, those have been hands down some of the most difficult aspects of the job I've had to deal with in the past year. And it has nothing to do with the pandemic. These changes would have been happening regardless.
Yeah, overlaid on top of the other elements of this crisis, though, that's, again, many, many things up here. Wow.
Yeah, lots of stress, you know, and you never know where the stress is going to come from on any given day anymore.
Yes, oh my goodness. Have there been any changes to the operations of the paper that you think will continue in terms of how you guys do business? More Zoom calls, that kind of thing? Or do you think things will go back to a new kind of normal?
There have been some questions of if and when we might be able to return to the office. For as much as I hate it, I think that the whole working from home is going to be a lot more common in this industry, which again is frustrating because part of at least what I feel makes me a unique journalist is I don't like relying on the phone calls. You know, give me a chance to knock on somebody's office door. And again, that's what I feel sets me apart from, you know, maybe some other journalists in the area. But now it's kind of a level playing field. So I gotta figure out, you know, how else I'm going to try to stand out.
So I guess one thing you hope will end then is that kind of separation from the physical space, even if it's part-time, the ability to go into a newsroom and also though to go see sources up close and in person. That's something you wish back.
Okay? Yeah. Especially the sources side of it. Cause again, it's, you can only get so much of an interview, you know, over the phone or even through FaceTime. There's certain aspects of the body language that you, that are part of the story. that you're just not getting anymore.
All right, this leads us to the last two questions here. You're doing really great, by the way. Thanks so much for your succinct and thoughtful answers. what do you think, if anything, has changed about your own views of journalism and society with the pandemic?
I don't know if much has changed. Personally, when I got into journalism, it was because I watched a lot of cable news. This was towards the end of the W administration going into the Obama administration. It seems kind of laughable now, but at the time, everything seemed so contentious. As I started studying journalism, though, that's when I realized how important the local side of it is. You're always going to have the talking heads on cable news talking about the national stories. It's so much harder to find the local angles, the local sources, the local stories. And that's, again, early on in my career, that's what I wanted to focus on, was the community side of it. So here we are, you know, hopefully nearing the end of this pandemic. That hasn't changed. I still see hyper-local journalism as probably one of the most important pieces of journalism, because it's those local stories that affect the readers or the listeners every single day. Some of the stories that you may see on national outlets or may read from national outlets, they may or may not affect you on the daily. But with the community journalism, chances are that's going to be affecting you or somebody in your circle, your friends or family. And that's kind of where my focus still is.
No, that's so critical. You know, and I think you're doing a great job, and it is a tough job. But the kind of journalism that impacts the most people most of the time is the local journalism. That's mm-hmm. where most of the other news comes from. We read about and hear about,
right, for sure.
Speaking of local journalism, then, you know, what do you want readers to know about journalism? Poynter has a lot of journalism fans, but also some of the stuff they do is reader outreach. You know, what do you want to say to people who read the paper, especially in your community, you know, right now?
Probably just to remind readers that the names and the bylines, you know, we're not experts on everything. We are, especially here in Ardmore, we're your neighbors. We're trying to learn about the pandemic just like everybody else is. We're trying to figure out how to do things safely, effectively, just like everybody else is. And I hope that, you know, when whether they're reading an article that came out today or they're rereading an article that came out 6 months ago, when we wrote that article, we were doing our best to convey the truth of what's happening. And I hope readers remember that even if we, you know, had some stumbles, may have had some hiccups in the past, that we're going to use those to make sure our next story is even better and is even more accurate.
Well said. I guess that leads me then straight to my last question, which is great. What would you want journalists 100 years from now to know about this moment in time, if they're covering a new pandemic or just looking back a century from now on this moment?
I've put a little bit of thought in this, and it's something that came back, or that I noticed happened to me back in March. We were about 3 weeks into the pandemic, and I was already getting burned out. We had been kicked out of our office. I'm trying to figure out how to work from home. My daughter had been, her daycare had been closed, and trying to figure out the new normal 3 weeks in, I was getting so burned out. And it was during a staff meeting that it dawned on me that, you know, this is not a sprint, that this pandemic is going to be a marathon and I have to pace myself. So, you know, if there's a journalist 100 years from now listening to this interview, I think I would have to tell him, slow down, pace yourself. Don't try to get everything done right now. And to take care of your own mental health, don't get lost in the details of your stories. Find ways to, you know, file your story and put it down and go enjoy what makes, you know, enjoy the parts of your life that make you, you. I'm glad I took that approach too, so early on, 'cause by the summer, I would have been completely burned out had I not been doing that. By the fall, when this local surge started happening, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. So yeah, definitely just kind of take care of yourself and your family. Let the job come second.
Yeah, well said, and a good word. I hope that, you know, it can be helpful someday for people in your, and maybe our position, hopefully not, but who knows. Anything else you want to add? You want to say?
You know, actually just kind of going back to that point of kind of keeping a check on, yeah, on your mental health. I think that goes outside of
sure,
pandemic reporting. You know, you've got crime and courts reporters who, you know, have to read and write about, you know, some of the worst things that happen in our society every day. They have to write about these things every day. Same thing with me on an education beat, which I started out on. You read about, you know, childhood poverty, childhood trauma, and you let it gets to you. I mean, we're humans. It's going to. So trying to make sure that reporters are, and editors too, are taking care of themselves, should be paramount and should, in my opinion, come before the job.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Michael. I'll go and stop the recording now.
Sure.